This is the 30th anniversary of the Heckler Report, and Secretary of Health and Human Services Margaret Heckler was brought to her attention under Tom Malone, who was then working at the National Institutes of Health, in terms of health disparities that occurred across the country. And those disparities were identified in terms of some of the chronic diseases, in terms of cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and some, you know, and other. And so as we celebrate the Heckler Report, at that time, in that volume report, then there was, just an underlining theme to close the health gap. And health disparities is mentioned several times throughout the report. And so that's the kind of framework that I wanted to present, because we're talking about in the 80s, and we are in what year? 2015. So I don't want to come to the American Public Health Association when I'm 300 years old and we're still having a discussion on health disparities. What we want to have this discussion and the conversation on is that early on we talked about health disparities, but they have been eliminated, and this is how we did it. And it's going to take partnerships among all of us to try to get this accomplished. The first presenter, Dr. Cynthia Harris, her topic, and they're listed, each of the topics is listed on the slide, the development of a statewide collaborative research initiative to address health disparities in Florida. The second presenter, Evan Martin, improving sustainability of hypertension management by development of a screening program utilized by short-term medical teams visiting in La Romana, Dominican Republic. The next presenter, Adrian Mandoff, her topic is supporting policy change to improve health in Louisiana, the role of research in education and advocacy. And our final presenter, using social network analysis to map an emerging national Asian American Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander health equity network. And we will begin with our first presenter, and I'd ask that you give yourself and the presenters a round of applause for being here. And as we want to subscribe to the First Lady's, you know, reduction of obesity, that was also an exercise.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hunter, and welcome to all of you. It's certainly a pleasure to be here to talk about a topic that clearly is near and dear to all of us. You are here because you are interested in how do we conduct health disparities research, how do we address policy issues as it relates to health disparities, and we're going to talk about it from our various perspectives. So it is indeed my pleasure to talk about what we're doing in the state of Florida, and we certainly know that the magnitude of the health disparities that we see are large, so much so that it is not anything that one single organization or institution can tackle by itself. It indeed requires that we have partnerships and foster collaboratives. And so I'm going to talk about how we in Florida have attempted to do that, to develop a statewide collaborative research initiative to address health disparities in Florida. And I will also have my disclaimer here. I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. So, okay. Then we've seen many definitions, many definitions of health disparities. And this is the one that typically we see from the National Institutes of Health, which describes health disparities as differences in the incidence, prevalence, mortality, and burden of diseases and other adverse health conditions that exist among specific population groups in the United States. And we know that it is indeed also one of the overarching Healthy People 2020 goals to actually eliminate health disparities. So Ms. Hunter, you don't have to be 300 years old by the time this happens, okay? All right, when we look at health disparities, when we look at the agenda in Florida, we have to first of all recognize, as many people know, Florida is indeed one of the most diverse, culturally, racially, and ethnically diverse states in the union. We are among the top three, that being California and New York joining us. Also, Florida has indeed a high incidence of disease burden from ethnic, rural, and socioeconomically disadvantaged and other medically underserved populations. So we have such a diverse population, and as a result of that also, we have a large number of health disparities when you look at specific health outcomes. Yet, despite this, there is little coordination, communication, and collaboration between universities, especially when you consider the magnitude of these disparities and the need for there to be more of these partnerships. So we know, this is based upon census data, that diversity is increasing, that we're starting to see when we look at from 2000, even as we forecast up to 2050, that the number of various racial and ethnic minorities are increasing. We know that the African-American community, actually our population is increasing up to about 16% now of the population. And also, if we do trend analysis, we also know this is based upon races, but when you look at ethnicities, the largest population that is growing, and even with trend analysis, is the Latino or Hispanic community, which by 2015 will represent 22.5% of the population. So this is significant when we see that a large number of the health disparities are within these very same populations. And so it becomes critical as public health practitioners that we find more effective ways of addressing them. And there are a variety of factors. Now these are not anything that are unfamiliar to many of us. These are probably listed among the top areas in which we see among several populations these disparities. One being cardiovascular disease, hypertension and stroke, and also total cancers. You know, we know within our state that indeed certain kinds of cancers, especially breast cancer, prostate cancer, when we look at mortality rates, are exceptionally high in certain populations, for instance, in the African American community. Diabetes is also a problem, and we even know within our own county, in Tallahassee, Florida, where I'm from, that diabetes represents, or complications from diabetes in that county alone, has resulted in diabetes being the sixth leading cause of death in that one particular county. And HIV/AIDS, certainly when we look at the state data, Florida is number one in HIV/AIDS infection when you look at the various states, and number three in AIDS. So when we look at that, Florida indeed is a state that where it is critical that we start to address these concerns. Infant mortality, we know that the national data shows that there are indeed disparities, and we look at the African American community, it is two times, black babies die two times more than white babies. That's what the national data says, but we have counties in our own state where that disparity is up to four times in certain counties. So indeed, even with that disparity, the national rate, there are counties throughout our United States in which that level is even higher. And we know that some of the factors that contribute to that, you know, are preconception health issues, teen pregnancies. We also know the back-to-sleep programs that have resulted from babies actually sleeping on their stomachs have resulted in some deaths as well. So those are and maternal stress and other socioeconomic issues have resulted or impacted that disparity that we see with infant mortality. Asthma is also a problem. We know in a lot of urban areas, but also some rural areas where there are triggers for asthma. And then also mental health. And we know that this is something in a lot of our communities that is not spoken very broadly, but it's clearly a concern. The stressors that a lot of our communities, especially underserved communities, have in managing maybe two to three jobs, but still being responsible, the primary caregiver for young children. And how do you manage that? So this is something of concern. And then certainly all of the health risk factors, and those are just a few that contribute to these health outcomes. High blood pressure, physical inactivity resulting in increased obesity, where we start to see diabetes being even more prevalent in children, where we used to didn't see that, type 2 diabetes in particular. Okay? So Florida, in recognizing this, said that it was time to develop an agenda for how we address health disparities research. And what happened was the Florida Department of Health, the state health department, within that department had several bodies that were working in this area. One was a Biomedical Research Advisory Council, as well as the Office of Minority Health, and then also Florida has a Center for Universal Research to Eradicate Disease, or what we call Florida Cure. And it actually was a collaboration of researchers and community stakeholders to begin the conversation of how we address these disparities in our large, very diverse state. The result of that was a statewide health disparity summit. It was held in 2010 to begin this conversation, and then from that, a 30-member advisory committee was appointed in 2011. And from that work, there was a vision statement, a broad vision statement of something that we would all like to see is to achieve health equity for all Floridians. In fact, we want to achieve health equity in all of our states, but within Florida, that was our vision statement. And our mission statement was to implement this through collaborations among academic institutions, among governmental agencies, state and local, as well as community-based organizations. And the strategies to do that is, first of all, you got to make people, put everybody on the same page about what these disparities are. We cannot make that assumption. So that needs to be first and foremost. Increasing the academic community partnerships. In Florida alone, if you just look at public health programs, we have 11 public health programs, three of which are standalone schools of public health. And that's just in public health. So there has to be a way in which we can get these academic institutions to actually work very closely with community organizations. Promoting quality data. We know we need to have a good evidence base for these concerns. And then increasing transdisciplinary disparities research. Public health, social work, pharmacy. Some of the other health professions, businesses, we need to actually have people at the table who can address what we term the social determinants of health, because we know that a lot of these health outcomes are due to non-health issues. And so we've got to be able to pull people to the table. And then promoting dissemination of information, and that means that we have to know and be culturally sensitive to what resonates within particular populations and neighborhoods. Okay, so here were the major areas when we start talking about research that we're actually focusing on. Health promotion or prevention, which is certainly something we're very familiar with in public health, in looking at how do we actually encourage the modification of certain risky behaviors, promoting screening, and then also communication between healthcare organizations and patients. So when we start thinking about issues such as access, it's not only just access, physical access through transportation, but it's also access or barriers that exist because people make a conscious decision or may make a conscious decision, even though that healthcare agency may be right in their backyard, that they're not going to go because they don't like the way that they're being treated, maybe by that receptionist or that healthcare provider. So we need to understand that as well. And then also, what are the health outcomes? How we can evaluate the extent of the disparities. And in Florida, we really do have, within our organization, a lot of expertise in looking at cancers and genetics. And in particular, those cancers such as breast and cervical cancer, prostate and colon cancers. Okay? So, that being said, how did this Health Equity Research Institute, now we call it HERI, we wanted to call it HERI so we could have a catchphrase, everybody's wild about HERI, but it just didn't work, so anyway, we call it HERI. And the reason why this was established, we took that information and actually went to the legislature in 2012 and actually former Representative Joe Gibbons in the House embraced it, ran with it, and we were able to get funding in 2013 to establish the Florida Health Equity Research Institute. So it was funded in 2013 and 2014. We got actually $400,000 annually. We wanted it to be recurrent, but it was actually not recurrent. So we said, well, we'll take it. We didn't say no. And so we're continuing to work with that. And the mission is the same as the research agenda. But the goals are to develop innovations in health, to actually come up with innovative ways that resonate with several communities, to increase the translation and the adaptation. One size does not fit all when you look at communities. Even when you're working with various Hispanic or Latino communities, the one size does not fit all. You still have to know the neighborhoods, the communities, the issues that are resonated within those particular communities. That takes a lot of work, but it takes a commitment. We have to increase the pool of individuals for underrepresented groups, because we know that in certain disciplines that people of color are not well represented, even though we have these disparities. And then also we have to increase external funding to improve economic development in the state. So now we've got all of these problems in Florida, yet Florida is not very high on as far as the number of NIH funding streams as other states that are comparable in diversity and in size. So that's something that has been a challenge for us. And then increased recognition of Florida as a leader in health disparities. So just want to show you this. You see our state, Florida. Our institute partners span the state. Most of them are in the central and north part of the state, as you can see. But the reason why this works well is our partners consist of three historically black colleges and universities: Bethune-Cookman University, Edward Waters College in Jacksonville, and Florida A&M University. And then also we have Florida Atlantic, Florida State. We also have the University of Central Florida, University of South Florida. As you can see, University of Florida, North Florida, Miami. We span the gamut on our partnerships, and the State Department of Health, which also includes 6 to 7 counties. So we have 67 county health departments that we work with, as well as the Moffitt Cancer Center. It's been an invaluable partner. Okay? Here is the structure of HERE. It consists of, you know, the top box there, the administrative course is actually a part of that, but we have a steering committee that consists of academic institutions, governmental agencies, as well as community-based organizations. The fiscal managers through Florida State University, and we have 4 cores. So it's actually structured very similar to some of the NIH P20 cores that you've seen. Community engagement core, administrative core, education and training, and a research core. And the goals are this: the community engagement core provides direction to ensure that we indeed have a community-based participatory approach in everything that we do. The administrative core provides general oversight, and also we have an evaluator in that core. And then we have an education and training core to address the concern that I talked about earlier, is how to increase the numbers of underrepresented minorities in the health professions. And then also the research core, which we're looking at, is how do we provide opportunities for junior investigators to be mentored by senior investigators in health disparities research. Okay. So here's just a picture of our community engagement core. We have a 15-member community leadership board from 13 communities representing various races and ethnicities and geographical diversity as well. They participate in all subcommittees of the steering committee, and then they have developed a community action plan. And this community action plan is serious, because every other core has to be assured that we are implementing those things that are part of the community action plan to be really, really true and authentic to community-based participatory research. So this is significant. Okay. All right, let's see. While we're here. And here's our administrative core. This is a picture of our beautiful steering committee, represented from Florida State, Florida A&M, Edward Waters, University of South Florida. And also, we also have representatives from 100 Black Men, Mr. Charles Briggs, who is the chair of the committee. And also, the administrative core is responsible for the dissemination, the development and dissemination of all of our publications. That's a cover for our Year 1 Progress Report. All right. And for those that would like to actually know more about us, here's our website, www.flhere.org. And here's an example in 2013, in fall of 2013, when we got the wonderful news that we got the funding, we had a summit And these are just pictures from the summit. It was held at the Moffitt Cancer Center in Texas. So you can see we had a wonderful time. Representative Givens was there. He's in the bottom, on the bottom row, the second picture, to actually talk about the commitment of the legislature. Here is the Education and Training Corps work. There were two major areas that we worked on. First of all, exposing our students by providing a symposium where we had representatives from veterinary medicine, medicine, dentistry, public health, nursing, allied health sciences, the biomedical sciences, to talk to these students. They also had an opportunity to actually ask questions in smaller sessions. Okay, how do I put together a competitive application to these schools? And even more importantly than that is, especially for these populations, is how do I finance this health profession education? So you've got to be able not only to show them how do they finance it? What are research opportunities that may be available to them as part of their work? And this was initially implemented by the Florida Alliance for Health Professions Diversity. Some of you have been familiar with former Secretary Lou Sullivan. He put out a document called Missing Persons, which actually talked about the low numbers of underrepresented minorities in the health professions, and established a number of alliances in Alabama, in Ohio. There's a joint, believe it or not, this geographic is pretty interesting, a Virginia-Nebraska alliance, Ohio, and Florida was the second alliance. So they got, the alliance got the subcontract to do this education and training corps. And another part of the Education and Training Corps is students get to have an immersive health disparities research experience for 8 weeks. They actually are able to identify, mentor, and conduct research at their home institution or community. They don't have to go anywhere. If they actually identify, mentor where they are, then that is fine. And then what happens is they work on a presentation, this research, and we have a culminating event where they present their research at the University of Florida. They get a stipend during that month, roughly I think about $1,000 a month. We had 19 students this past year that participated, and a total of 63 students that have participated since the beginning of this program. And actually, this program goes back as far as 2009 with the Alliance program. In addition, junior faculty members also need mentoring as well on health disparities research. So we have a program that pairs them with a senior investigator. These two individuals here from the University of Florida, Assistant Professor Dr. Hahn in the College of Nursing, was one of our recent scholars, because this just happened in 2015. He's looking at understanding relationships between multidimensional health factors, and then Dr. Taya Arthur, who's also pilot testing a customized health promotion intervention to reduce the risk of cancer reoccurrence among overweight or obese individuals. Our research corps has been very productive in actually providing funding for exploratory research, for research grants, that's pilot research, research grants, and also infrastructure money. And we had 8 proposals in year one, and these two individuals were able to get funding, one to look at cultural change adoption in low-performing nursing homes who are the adopters, and the other is understanding mechanisms of increased ABCD3 expression in African-American prostate patients. So we have that. And let me tell you how significant this is. The red bar is what was the target. And as you can see, the target was substantially increased by orders of magnitude when you look at grants submitted and grants awarded. In fact, 11 of these grants were to federal agencies were submitted in a total of $11.6 million, and there were 6 awards for $5.9 million. So you can see that this work really has been a big investment, and it's been very successful. Okay, our lessons learned, okay? Now, the red flag hasn't come up, so I'm not making good time. Our lessons learned and future directions. We want to strengthen our participation in the South. If you saw the map that I showed earlier, most of the work that we've done has been in the Panhandle area, North Florida, Northeast Florida, and in Central Florida. We want to increase that. And a lot of it is because that's where a lot of us are who were originated, really started this work. And we are very excited in that Florida International University, which is largely Hispanic serving, will be hosting the Student Symposium. And you can put this, if those of you would like to join us in Florida, on April 16, 2016. Okay. We want to build a broader funding base. As you saw, we were awarded non-recurrent dollars for 2 years. We were not rewarded that same level of funding for this past year, but we are continuing to seek that and also broaden our base. And then we also want to strengthen our identity. One of the things that that was really an initial concern is that you've got various schools that have centers of health equity, and they want to know, what is this statewide health disparity center, and what does it mean to me? And so we had to have some conversation and dialogue to show that this was a statewide initiative and how it would be very beneficial for them to become a part of this. And then also strengthening our doctoral professional students. Most of the students that we had involved were high school students, undergraduate students, and master's students. So now we want to strengthen that to look at doctoral and professional students. And the last but not least, our call to action is we are empowered to actually do a lot of work, but it's going to take action and commitment. So indeed, if we want for disparities to continue, then as Evan Burke says, the only thing necessary for the triumph of disparity is for good men and women to do nothing. And we certainly do not want that to happen. We want to continue moving, but it's going to take a partnership and a collaborative. Thank you very much.